Welcome to this week's teaching from Exchange Church Belfast.
We're good to go. Let's get our Bibles out. Do you know one of the things I love about my wife? And I have to be careful because she's in this morning, but she's wonderful, right? And she is. But we have this really, we have this thing that drives me nuts because we've been married for nearly, it's 23 years we've been married, right? Which is good. And got married when I was 10. And for those of you trying to work out my age, 10, 11, 14, and but there's this thing, right? You know when you go out to eat and she'll say to me, I'll go, oh, I really fancy that. What do you fancy? And she goes, nothing really, I'll just have share of yours. And you go, no, hold on, that's not an option, all right? Like, let's get that, well, don't really fancy a whole, I'll just have a wee bite of yours. And man, isn't it the most annoying thing in the world, right? And you kind of go, no, get your own. Because as much as I love you, I'm not inclined to share this with you. I don't want to share it with you. It's not in my radar, my grid right now to share with you. Okay? And actually, you're ruining it for me. All right? Because, and as much as you think I should be sharing it with you, just grant me. You know, I'll just have a wee bit of yours. Or it just gives a wee bite of that. It drives me to distraction. And I'm going to talk about that this morning because there's, you know, and she does it all the time and she knows it winds me up, but she still does it. And I think she's trying to get me on a health kick. But it's funny, isn't it, how we take a bit of something and leave a bit left over? You know, because the truth of it is she knows me well, because if she didn't actually make it very clear, Penny, at the beginning, actually, my intention is that I'm going to get a bit of this. She knows fine well, I'm going to wail my way through it. Let's be honest, you know what I mean? And for the most part, you know, you don't get a body like this eating vegan muck, you know what I mean? It's like, this takes some careful honing. And so I know me and I know her. And the truth of it is, if she doesn't say, let me put it on the record, mate, I want some of that, it's all disappearing. Anyone? Yeah, and so I'm going to talk about that today because at the start of the year, it's you know, there's a wee bit like that, actually, when it comes to God. And we're a church that absolutely unashamedly is all about the grace of Jesus. And I talked last week about how it doesn't matter what you have. When you have little, even in your hand, little, when you put little into the presence of Jesus, it always becomes much. Because he is the one that takes what naturally is unavailable in natural resource to produce results. He's able to take something and quickly multiply it back to you because that's what he does. He's an abundant God. You know that God loves to bless you. I mean, just have a wee moment this morning and go, God is not angry with me. Right now as I sit here, God loves me. So, you know, some of you need to encourage yourselves this morning.
Does he really?
He does. He's absolutely delighted with you right now. He's delighted with you right now. He's not trying to ruin your life. He's not trying to make it more difficult. He absolutely loves you right now. And what he wants for you is not just for you to know that, but he wants you to walk in an experience of it. And just not a little bit, but more and more. And we kind of go, that sounds awful selfish. Well, it's not. Actually, I know with my children, I don't kind of feed them in the morning and then go, right, you've had your bit. That'll do you till tomorrow morning. Do you know what I mean? I mean, Ben would be climbing the walls. I mean, that wee lad has hollow legs. He would eat us out of house and home. I can imagine saying to him, right, you're done. I blessed you this morning with breakfast, son. Now, let that be your fill, because I'm a good father. Now I'm going, like, when he's hungry next time, what do we do? We feed him. When he's hungry next time, we feed him. Isn't that right? And so we have this, we need to have a recalibration of our view of Jesus, particularly at the top of the year. I said last week that ultimately, I love this quote from Martin Lloyd-Jones. I'm going to keep saying it. Ultimately, in your life right now, nothing really matters apart from what you think of Jesus, because it's all about Jesus. And we're going to talk about him this morning as we get ready for a bit of, I'm not going to like egg up Vision Sunday next Sunday, but I want to talk about the vision of the church next Sunday, because I know that God loves the church. There's a purpose and a destiny for Exchange Church. And actually, your destiny is found in the local church, not outside of the local church. Psalm 92:13 says this, that those who are planted in the house of God, planted means securely put into ground. Isn't that right? When you're planted in the house of God, you flourish in the courts of our God. You'll still bear fruit in old age. You'll be fresh and you will be fresh. There you go, Adam. It's in the Bible. You're obviously on something there and flourishing. So it doesn't mean you loosely attend. It doesn't mean, you know, keeping Jesus and the church on the edge of your life. Actually, where you feed from, where you draw from, where you set yourself up to face the world and life, if it's not found in a local church where there's good soil, you're going to struggle. Not says me, says the Lord. Amen. And so we need to discover that, because I'm going to talk today, because I think it's really important, and I'm going to push the edge with some of you here this morning, but that's okay, all right? Because it's what the Word says, and sometimes under grace, people get lazy, and we become grace Pharisees, where what we do is we critique every sermon for does it line up with Pastor Prince, to be honest, or somebody else, and go, well, do you know what? But I need you to listen to what the Lord has sent to you this morning, because everything I'm going to preach this morning, actually pastors preached, if you really want to know, at some point. But there's some stuff here that I want to add into the mix this morning to encourage you that in 2020, you're going to walk into more grace. Do you get that? You're going to live more unmerited favor, more goodness, and you have to sometimes tune in, because the legalism in our own hearts, because not all of us are finished works right now. Jesus's work is finished and we are living in the goodness thereof, walking into it. But sometimes when we hear things, we can go, oh, he's just telling us this. Do you get me? And you, because it's a bit of old thinking, it's a bit of old mindset and old wineskin that's still in us that the Lord has to deal with. So can we just go, I'm gonna tune in and really hear, because you're gonna need to, because I'm talking from the book of Haggai. Whose favorite book is Haggai? Who's never heard of Haggai? Let's be quite honest, going, is that even in the Bible? Seriously, for real? And because I have found myself, it was Gary a few weeks ago said to me, this is really good. And it just struck a chord with me, actually. And I've been reading it. For those of you, you'll pass over Haggai very quickly because it's only two chapters. So it's basically one and a half pages in your Bible between, I think it's Zephaniah and Zechariah. In the Old Testament, but I'll give you a little bit of context for it, because it's unbelievable encouragement into grace. And then if you listen to me, what I'm going to do is I'm going to show you why, with what the Lord is saying right now in terms of a rhema word, a spoken word, why it really matters, okay? So let's do that. Are we all good for that? Yeah. All ready to go? Perfect. I find myself saying yes to lots of things. I guess what I'm talking about is what's your priority, all right? I find myself saying yes to lots of things. And sometimes a lot of stuff over the years, I like to help people. Anyone? I like to contribute. I like to see people doing well. And so I like to do interesting stuff. So I find myself quite a lot of the times, people say, here, what about? And I go, oh, dead on, yeah. I love that. It's really good. Yeah, let's get stuck in. And then I find my life full of stuff. And I'm wondering sometimes, drowning sometimes a little bit under the weight of everything that I have to do, going, why the heck did I ever say yes to this? Anybody? Brilliant. And, because when you say yes to one thing, what it means is you've said no to something else. Just remember that. Now, that doesn't mean that the other things are not good. But what it means is in saying yes to something, we've got to be really sure that in saying yes, we're making sure that we're not saying no to the very best. Because when we say yes, what happens is we can end up crowding out the very things that we should be doing as priority. And normally, can I say, church, that's about Jesus and the church. Because one of the things that, because the Lord is not physically here with us, almost in our face, what happens is that the things that are physical, the things that are right in front, the things that demand attention, those things, because they're pressing and right in front of us, we tend to say yes to them. And in doing that, sometimes what I've found is that without a revelation of Jesus and his grace and Jesus and his love for the church, what happens is we misalign our priorities out of what his priorities are. We take stuff on our own shoulders, and then we kind of go, why is this grace thing not working? I'm receiving the word, but actually it is about having a right alignment with what he says is important. Do you understand that? Because he doesn't break the rules just because he loves you. Yeah. Oh, but that's not gracious. Yes, it's the biggest bit of grace you're going to hear today, because it's about growing up a little. And go, but I just want Jesus to bless me on my terms. No. When we come to Jesus, he is Lord and we are not. He is King, we are not. He is the perfect one. We are walking into that from a place of what he's done in our lives. But we have to align properly. And the way to get your life to click is to make sure that your priorities align with his priorities. Not, here's my priorities, Jesus. Any chance you could just come alongside and make it work for me? I mean, it's bonkers, isn't it? But there's things that scream at us in our lives, and so we find ourselves saying yes. Like, I'm a nightmare. Do you know one of the things that I do in my home? My hands are never out of dishwater. Let me just tell you that. 90%. It's going to be hard to believe. Soft as a baby's bum, these things, I'm telling you, right? Because 90% of the dishes in our house are done by me. Now, what that means is I find it... you're going to learn something about me today. I find it very hard to walk past a deal on fairy liquid. Don't you... don't judge me. In fact, recently I was in one of those big shops at Conswater, and they had these massive Penny's face. Come on, look away. They had these massive like things of fairy liquid, about 9 liters of fairy liquid, right? And I found myself going, come back. I was picking it up and going, oh, flip me, I'm going to need a trolley. But I was just like, and I don't need it. I could just hear Penny go, what'd you buy that for? But you know, I was drawn back to it. I thought, I can't say no to this, I can't say no. And so I bought the thing, right? Here's me walking out of B&M like this, right? Carrying about 4 stone worth of fairy liquid. But it was only about £7. It was brilliant. Now, what we have done since then is that was probably back in May. And ask Penny today, have we ever run out? Isn't there nothing worse than running out of fairy liquid? When you have to do your... I hate that. It drives me nuts. So there's a couple of things. Toilet roll and fairy liquid. These are things you cannot run out of. All right? So I'm like, and butter, and real butter. None of your flora nonsense. Real butter. So in my house, those are things that are dear to my heart. So we haven't run out of fairy liquid in nearly a year. Down to me. All right? Because I couldn't say no. Come on. And I found myself, when I brought it home, Penny just went, what are you doing? I went, trust me. So every now and again, I'll nip out to the garage, all right, where nobody can see me, and pour in like this, and bring it back. It's like the magic porridge pot. Remember with the kids? I can't say no to some stuff, and then I just find it really hard to say no. But we've got to learn to say no, because the truth of it is, we're only 3/4 of the way through that thing. And I found myself yesterday morning out, and the garages, the Spars have a big offer, just to let you know, on fairy liquid. And I found myself going, so actually I've bought it and it's hidden in the boot of my car. I'm really sorry. Because I just can't say no. Do you know what I mean? Anyway, it's the truth. Pray for him, Jesus, all right? Now, I believe actually in 2020, where about some of us need to learn to say yes to the right things and no to the things that might be good, might be opportunities, but maybe the Lord's going, I've got something better for you. And when you align properly and learn to say yes to the right stuff, then what you'll find is there's a grace on you that you haven't experienced yet before, yeah? And so we're going to talk about that. We're going to read from Haggai chapter 1. I believe that this year what the Lord is saying is, don't fit me into your life and give me what's left over. You know what, Lord, I'll take my wee bit and I'll give you, you know, like, do you want to share? All right? Actually, the Lord said, no, let me help you. What I want to do is I want to get to the center of this, because when I'm properly aligned with you, there is a grace that you'll just absolutely find flowing. Because here's the truth of it. Everybody sitting in this room has enough money, has enough time, and everything else for God. That's the truth. Well, I can't afford to give. I can't afford to give my time. I'm too busy. Do you know why that is? It's because you prioritize something other than the house of God. Oh, where's the grace in that? There's loads of grace, let me tell you. Okay, we're going to get to it. And I think that actually in part of this year is us believing as a church that the call that God has put on us is so much wider and broader and deeper than what we're seeing right now. Lives who should be sitting in these seats this morning experiencing the unmerited favor of Jesus. People in your world who are struggling, who are sick, who are under the weight of condemnation and guilt and a lack of meaning and purpose. People who are trying to figure out what life is all about. People like my age who, you know, haven't quite bought the motorbike and the leather trousers, but on the way there, trying to figure it out. But you know what I mean? So actually, get that image out of your head, because that's actually really unhelpful. You see somebody, we're going to bring your breakfast up. And do you know what? I could rock those, couldn't I? No. Okay. No. No. Move on. But people who are struggling and they need purpose and they need meaning. And what we need to do is we need to be a people who go, actually, as grace flows into my life and there's grace that I experience, and as I can just prioritize, it's not the Lord trying to beat you. Remember, what does the Lord do for you? He always leads you from glory to glory, from grace to grace, all right? Always about more of his love and his goodness in your life, never about taking away. It's the law that demands from bankrupt men. And it demands that which they can never pay, but it's grace that says, I have paid, and so I pour in abundance for you. Right? So we have to accept that that's our context, and then we need to grow up into that. Yeah? So let's read Haggai. It's a brilliant book. Some of you are going, oh, brilliant. I was reading this week, Pastor. Loved it. Brilliant. Anyone? Is anyone who's never heard of Haggai? You can put your hand up. There's no shame. Who's heard of it but never read it? Awesome. So brilliant. In the second year of Darius the king, in the 6th month, on the first day of the month, the word of the Lord came by the hand of Haggai the prophet, because that's what he was a prophet, to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest. Isn't that awesome? Who's going, brilliant, give me more of that? I mean, that's just the introduction, right? Thus says the Lord of hosts, these people say the time has not yet come to rebuild the house of the Lord. Then the word of the Lord came by the hand of Haggai the prophet. Is it a time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses? Paneled houses simply means fancy, okay? So decorative woodwork, a lot of time, money, and attention given. That's just what paneled houses means. While this house, which is the house of God, lies in ruins. Now therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Let's just think about this and think about what you're doing here, he's saying. You've sown much. Now, if there's anything in you that goes, this feels a little bit like me, then just say, Lord, I'm ready to receive more grace and a way out. I've sown much and harvested little. You eat, but you never seem to have enough. You drink, but you never have your fill. You clothe yourselves, but you're not warm. I love this one. He who earns wages does so to put them into a bag with holes. Isn't that a good one? Anyone feel like that? Just kind of goes in one end, straight out the other. Yeah? I mean, January's a long month, isn't it, everyone? All that sort of stuff. Thus says the Lord of hosts. So he says now, does anyone go, I kind of get that. I understand what that means. I feel like for a lot of my life, what I've been doing is I've been trying, and there's nothing wrong with these things, okay? What he's saying is, but if you find yourself in a place where there is little return for a lot of effort, then consider something here with me, is what he's trying to say. Now, go up the hills and bring wood and build a house that I may take pleasure in it and I may be glorified, says the Lord. So what he's actually talking about is a thing called Solomon's Temple. And what happened is, at this point, don't want to give you a big history lesson, but essentially, Solomon's temple was completely wrecked. Remember, David wanted to build a temple, and the Lord said, no, you can't build a temple. It's going to be Solomon, your son, who will build a temple. Now, this temple was absolutely incredible. Actually, when you look at the amount of gold and all sorts of stuff, it was worth about $200 billion in today's money when you actually weigh it out. Now, there's two places in the Old Testament where God dwells. First is the tabernacle of Moses, which is a picture of God's grace. Remember we did that? If you don't, go and look at our center series. We did that for lots of weeks. And then there's the temple of Solomon. So the tabernacle of Moses was a picture of God's grace, the ark, all that sort of stuff in the desert. And then, so now you have in Jerusalem, you have the temple of Solomon. Now we've taught a lot on the temple of Moses or the tabernacle of Moses, which is God's grace. But this is what is different with Solomon's temple is that it is a picture of God's glory for the people. So the glory of God, the fullness of God, the majesty of God, it's interesting when there's a great quote by somebody like Martin Lloyd-Jones, I can't remember right now, it escapes me, but he said, what is the glory of God? It is a human being fully alive. All right. So we can see it in the house of God, but then we experience the glory of God, and it means to be fully alive with every bit of your being, to be fully alive with God's life in you. Now, there's a couple of things I want to say is that in the book of Haggai, that what he's trying to say to people is not to beat them. He's trying to say, listen, you've got your priorities misaligned. Because the temple that I need you to build, the Lord says, is a place that houses my glory. It's a place that houses my fullness. It's a place where people will come from the nations to see the incredible beauty and majesty of God. That's what we're talking about. That's my priority, says the Lord. So the Lord, when we look through grace, we go, what is the Lord's priority? What did Jesus talk about? He said, he loves everybody. He loves you. For God so loved the world. Not so because God wanted to make their life a misery, but he so loved us that he gave us Jesus. And then what is his other priority? It's actually the church. Bringing the people together as a light to the world so that people would know the grace of Jesus in the family of God and would find meaning and purpose for their lives. Yeah? That's what's important to Jesus this morning, if you're wondering. He loves men and women and kids. He wants them to encounter him in his love and in his grace. Then he wants them to go down deep into that love to find meaning and purpose in the body of Christ and then use that to go and reach this world. So that's what really matters to him. And what Haggai is saying, even back in those days, is there's something going on here, right? Some of us, verse 2 says, thus says the Lord of hosts, the people say the time has not yet come to build the house of the Lord. So even back then, a bit like us today, we kind of go, do you know what? It's not really quite my time. I mean, I'm in this time, but really, I've got so much going on. It's not really for me now to invest myself fully into the glory of God. Do you get that? If you find yourself, well, because I've got this, and I've got this, and I've got this, and I've got this. And rather now, this is not the time. I don't really have the time. Because I've said yes to so much stuff that I might have said, now, everything that the Lord puts in front of you is what? Is it good or is it the best? It's always the best, isn't it? So you might have said yes to lots of good stuff, and the Lord's saying, I want you to bring you to a place where you say yes to the best. Because I'm going to show you what happens when you say yes to the best, all right? And then what about this? He says, is it time for you to yourselves to dwell in paneled houses while this house lies in ruins? So the temple wasn't built at this stage. It had been wrecked by various marauders and all the rest of it. It had been completely destroyed. And what had happened was the people just hadn't quite got round to prioritizing. They were so busy with themselves. And I here's what I think. This is where I go under grace. It's okay. Let me tell you something. God wants to bless you. Not just, oh, he loves me. But he wants you to live like you're blessed. Do you get that? He wants you, and I'm going to talk about that right now. Once there's a priority shift in some of us, the very things that we are pouring our lives into, that are the things in us that are driving us for safety and security and meaning and purpose, all those things that we long for, the Lord just says, you know what? You'll find it when you align with me. But what's happening is all of these things he starts to list. He says, what you're doing is you, because you haven't quite got it. You're sowing much and harvesting little, eating but not having enough. You're drinking but you're not filling. You're clothing yourselves but you're not warm. You're earning money that just kind of goes through your fingers. And is that a picture of grace? No, it's not, is it? That's a picture of effort and work. So what the Lord is trying to do is trying to lift these people up to go, I want to show you something so much different. And I think in 2020, for you and for our church, the Lord has said, I want to show you something so much different, but can we align first? Can we ask that we even have the conversation with each other to go, what am I going to say yes to? What am I going to align to? And what am I going to agree with in my life so that I see the fullness of God in my life? Amen? And so this is Haggai's story. I'm just going to use those verses this morning. Now, it's interesting, in the Temple of Solomon, the stones were taken from a quarry, which is a picture of us. And what was happening is the stones were then overlaid with cedar wood and with gold. Now, cedar wood speaks of Jesus' incorruptible humanity. Wood is all about humanness in the Bible. And then what happens is the gold that is overlaid on humanity speaks of divine righteousness. Gold is always about righteousness. So the moment that you believe in Jesus, right, God sees you as righteous as Jesus is today. Amen? That's good news, isn't it? This doesn't mean that we're completely perfect and not prone to make mistakes. But God doesn't see us in our error. He doesn't see us in our mistake. God sees us in Christ, overlaid with his humanity, but also his righteousness. Now, what happens when it comes to the church is people don't see that. They don't see what's on the inside because the stone of the temple was very plain. But it was actually only on the inside where you saw the gold of the gold and the cedar. So when you look at something from the outside, and this is what I want to say, it just looked plain and normal. They were just big stones that were hewn from the quarry. And I think some of us need to be careful that we don't look at this church and the calling of God that he has on Exchange and just go, it's dead normal. It's anything but normal. Because when you get to the inside of the calling that God has on you and on me and on us and family together, it is absolutely about the righteousness of Jesus. The most powerful, potent, amazing thing to ever encounter any man or woman's life sits in this house. Isn't that right? We're not preaching law. We're not preaching condemnation. We're preaching you are righteous in Christ. And people might look right now and go, it's pretty plain, but on the inside there is pure gold in you and in me. Now, the world might not be able to see us for our beauty and our glory, but we can see it in each other. Now, I want to do something very quickly. Actually, Pastor Prince has been on this for a couple of weeks, and it really struck me, because when I listened to it, I thought, I get that. I get what he says about the Temple of Solomon. That's why I thought whenever I was speaking to Gary a few weeks ago, I went, actually, these two things come together beautifully, right? Because when you look at what God is asking you to invest in, what God is saying prioritize with and align with, in that place is everything that you need. So you have a choice. You either sow and get nothing back. You say yes to things where you invest and the return is little. Where you earn money, but it goes through your pockets. Or you say yes to align him with what God's priority is around building the house of God, the church, investing your life into Jesus at the center of the church, and where do you see what he brings? Everything that you think you need right now is already supplied through the work of Christ in the church. Do you get that? I love it. Let's read, because in the Temple of Solomon, I'm going to just talk about that there's lots around this. But the first thing I want to say to you is there were chambers. Actually, when David was talking to the Lord, King David, the Lord gave him how to build this. And he showed him how to build it. And there's detail written into this, which I won't have time to go through today. But I really recommend that you get the notes. I can send you out the notes if you want. And one of the things is that built into the walls and built into the very center of the Temple of Solomon were these chambers. And they were built on three floors. Okay? Now, in every one, let me just say this. One of the things that was built into the walls were narrow windows that broadened out on the inside. And what happened is the light would come in and would open up and lighten up each of these chambers. And they were built one on the top of the other. And from the first to the second to the third floor, as you went up, they got broader and wider and bigger. The picture is that this year God wants to take you higher, broader, and wider. Does that make sense? But in every bit of they built these special windows. Psalm 119:130 says, "The entrance of your words gives light, it gives understanding to the simple." All right? And what happens is, it's a picture. What is light in the Bible? It's the word of God. So the first thing I need you to take hold of this year is God's word. Don't depend on natural light, on human wisdom for knowledge and direction. I want to say, I think the accumulation of just knowledge, all right? 1 Corinthians 8 says that knowledge can puff up. But the accumulation of knowledge of good and evil can bring about some confusion in our lives because there's so much contradicting information out there. Isn't that right? Do this, don't do that. Do this, don't do that. We can run around like people who run around, I was going to say something I can't say, flies with a particular color of backsides, right? And trying to find out. Instead, seek out God's word because it's reliable, it's true, and it's unchanging. So when you go to the word of God will light up for you the very areas of your life where you need to see more grace and more glory, okay? But let's look at this temple that the Lord says to you, I don't know what you're building for, but why don't you have a look at this? Because on the first floor of the temple, there's the first room. It's 5 cubits wide. And the first floor of the temple was where they harvested, all the harvested grain, wine, and oil were stored. You get that? What's that the picture of? At the ground level, grain, wine, and oil. Picture of the communion, the finished work of Jesus. You get that? So 5 cubits wide, and when they would harvest the grain, the wine, and the oil. And it's also a place where they kept the tithes as well. So what happens, these things speak of Jesus and his finished work. Almost a ground level, foundational level for your life is the finished work of Jesus. Not the principles of 10 steps to glory, not the 10 steps of being a better you, but actually Jesus at the very center of your life, in the bottom floor, if you like, what you're going to build on top of is Jesus and his finished work. Because it speaks of your healing, your provision, it speaks of your safety, your security, and almost the when you go to the Word, and it's this whole thing of go to the Word, look for Jesus, and from Genesis to Revelation, the light of God will come in, and the Word will open up, and will always reveal Jesus to you. Do you get that? But if you don't open the window and let the light in, you're going to live in darkness. So now I know I joke about every other day with Jesus, but some of us need to go, actually, Lord, there's so much contradicting stuff out there today. So many voices, so many. What is going to light up my life and help me to choose not that which is good, but that which is best? There's also a thing about, it's very interesting here, right? About our giving. To go, because I am convinced, if I was to ask most of you in this room to boil it down to the things that bother us the most, it's safety, security, future, provision, and then at some point, meaning and purpose. Do you get that? We're all working really hard to make sure that tomorrow we're going to be okay. For those of us with children, we're working really hard to make sure that they're going to have what they need. We want to keep the roof above our heads, put food on the table, make sure we can put petrol in the car. Anybody say amen? Now, what's interesting at ground level here, right? There is the receipt of giving to God. right? And it sits alongside the finished work of Jesus. Remember, I preached on this before Christmas. As Jesus is revealed, Abraham gives. So we'll come back to that probably in a month or two. And I want to say that here that the emphasis that God put on communion, the wine, the grain, and the oil for communion, the Holy Spirit is the oil, is that we don't lose an emphasis on that into this year. I believe the Lord's saying, keep taking communion. Keep putting Jesus at the center, because you'll be fitter, you'll be stronger, you'll have more hope, you'll be better. You know, God's not replacing any of these things. He just builds on them one by one. And so that's what we have. And then from the second floor of the temple is where the Levites and the priests would sleep. Now it goes 6 cubits wide, so it's broader, right? And on the second floor of Solomon's temple, the one that Haggai is saying, why is this lying in ruins and you're knocking your pan in and getting very little return for it? Does that make sense? In the big scheme of things, we're not saying that we're all doing badly because we're all pretty blessed. But really that sense of, oof, when we look at the bottom, the next layer, the Levites and the priests would sleep in there. And there would be beds all around it. It was a place of rest. So the beds speak of both spiritual rest and physical rest. And I get the sense that God is going, when we have Jesus underpinning at the bottom, at the center, if you like, the superstructure for everything, when we are not living in fear about our security and for tomorrow, the next step is wider and broader because it's physical and spiritual rest. Because when that's not in place underneath, you don't have any rest. Do you get that? Because you're working for no return. Money going through your pocket. Sowing but seeing very little back. Does that make sense? So underneath it all, we have Jesus and his work. And then the Lord says, up above, when that's in place, you get to rest. Is everyone following me? It's wider, it's broader than the first place. But I think this is in a place where when we open God's word for ourselves and there's more light, when we listen to preaching, we hear the rhema word of God, we actually start to live in that deeper rest and greater health. And that's like almost like the second level. Then what happens is on the third level, this third floor of the temple, the third floor is what's called the treasury, all right? And the whole floor, so you have the finished work of Jesus, a picture of communion, keeping Jesus at the center. When you're there, you broaden out to some rest, some peace, physically and spiritually. Who wants to live 2020 replaying the same scenes of 2019? Who says, Lord, more rest and more peace? Yeah? I'm not saying less activity, but more rest on the inside. More assurance that tomorrow is good. More visual and lived experience around me of your goodness and your favor in my life. Anyone? Amen? More health in my bones, right? More peace in my mind. More meaning and purpose. More a sense of destiny and direction. Yeah. That's rest on the, that's what rest looks like on the inside. Amen. And the Lord says, I've promised that for you. I've promised it for you. When Jesus is here, when you're building your life, you're putting Jesus and his finished work, and then we go here, it just leads to more rest. And then what's interesting, you can go up again into the third floor. This is what the Lord said, build Solomon's temple like this. And this is what Haggai said, and this is what's in ruins. I'm going to pull it together, hopefully. This is the treasury, and this is where this is 7 cubits wide, so it goes 5, 6, 7. God going, from this place, I just bring you higher and wider and more. And at the very top we have, why is the treasury important? It's overlaid with gold. It says the weight of the nails was 50 shekels of gold, and he overlaid the upper chambers with gold, 2 Chronicles 3:9. What does gold speak of? God's glory, God's righteousness. Now, what's interesting for me is when we look at the gold, if you think of material wealth and possessions, yeah, I think you've missed it. Remember, the glory of God is what? Somebody fully alive. I don't know what fully alive looks like for you this year, but I know for me, I have a fair idea about what I would love to see God do in me and through me, how it would feel, what it would look like, how it would impact on my family and impact on my church, how to get up every morning with a sense of, Jesus, let's get this thing done. Because I am not going to replay the same scenes with tiredness and frustration, but actually to wake up and say, you know what? The glory of God, I have got to the stage where from a place, because you don't see the glory of God from self-work and effort, you only can come up to a place where you see the fullness of God from a place of spiritual and physical rest. Why? Because you're in the work of Jesus. Does that make sense? And so What Solomon, or what Haggai is trying to say to you and he's trying to say to me today is, can we just have a think about this? Can you have a think about your life right now and go, actually, the Lord's not trying to beat you. He's trying to lift you up to say, in my house, with my prayer, it is a place with Jesus at the center, physical, spiritual rest that leads to the glory of God in your life that you will never have through self-work and effort. I want you to build and invest your life into such a place where, because the Temple of Solomon was massive, okay? It was huge, where thousands upon thousands of men and women can come and they can experience the glory of Jesus for themselves. They can receive their healing. They can receive their hope. They can receive new life. They can have shame and condemnation lifted from off of their shoulders. They can find meaning and purpose. They can be lifted up from the drudgery in the sense of, is this just it? Surely to God there is more than this. To find that they can look into the eyes of the one who created them, Jesus himself, and find all the love and all the purpose and all the goodness and all of what they would ever need in that place. Amen. Amen. And he's saying, build your life for that. Because in that place, not only are you aligning with me, but everything you long for is also included. You might be having it pretty good right now, but have you got the best? And does that make sense? And that's why I think, I mean, if you were under law with Haggai, you'd be a cracker. Oh, yous are all dirty sinners, driving around your big fancy motors. In the Lord's house, we can't even put the heat on. You know, all that stuff. I've heard this before, all right? And I'm not saying that at all. What I'm saying is that the gospel that we sin under, the gospel of God's unmerited favor, is saying, I've got so much more for you. So here's the thing, right? We look at it's about knowing Jesus. Because in Jesus, everything you need, all right? I think this is what's called wisdom, according to the word of God. I'm trying to say to you this year, be a bit wiser. So see, when the Lord says, consider your ways, he's not going, consider your ways, you dirty sinner. What he's saying is, look, wise up. Let's have a look. And go, this is how it's working out for you. But actually on this side, can we have a chat? Because I love you. I've only got goodness for you. I've got wholeness and hope and fullness for you. Yeah. My heart's always good. I'm always going to lead you from glory to glory, from grace to grace. That's all I ever do. Trust me in that. This is what it says in Proverbs 4, verse 7 is wisdom. This is wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get it. And in all you're getting, get understanding. Because when you possess wisdom, you also possess these five things, according to Proverbs 3, verse 16. Length of days is in her right hand. Listen to me. If you're going, this is what I am knocking my pan in, week out for, all right? Considering your ways means let's get a bit wise. Wise up, all right? Because this is what the Lord says. In the right hand is length of days. In her left hand, riches and honor. Her ways are pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. So you get long life, riches, honor, pleasure, and peace. Anyone? That's wise, isn't it? Consider your ways. That's what I love about grace. Some of us have heard grace and gone, yep, but I don't really trust you, Lord. So I will continue to work, inching little bit by little bit. But actually, the Lord goes, 2020 can be a totally different year for you. It can be a totally different year for you. But the Lord's not going to do it, okay, with a heart which is absolutely just about you. He's going to say, just align with my purpose. Align with my heart for the house of God. Because I am building a place where the thousands can come to receive my unmerited favor. And here's whatever you're looking for. Long life, anyone? Yeah. Riches. That just means you're provided for, blessed, overabundantly. Yeah? Honor? Yeah, I'll go for that. Pleasure? Yeah. And peace? Amen. That's what the Lord's trying to say. He's trying to say, build a house for me. Now, last bit I want to say today, because I've gone over time, is practically, okay, how do you move from one thing to the next? This is where Pastor Prince is just, he blew my mind actually whenever I listened to this, so this is his thing. He says, practically the way that the priests went from ground level to from first floor to second floor to third floor, right, was via a winding staircase. Everyone knows what a winding staircase looks like? It goes like this. So practically what the Lord said was build a winding staircase. And the house, when it was building, was built of stone, it says here in 1 Kings, and before it was brought thither, so that there was neither hammer nor axe nor any tool or any iron heard in the house while it was in building. The door for the middle chamber was on the right-hand side of the house, and they went up the winding stairs into the middle chamber and out into the middle of the third, right into the third. Now, why does the Lord say this? Now, I'm trying to encourage you to go slow down, consider your ways this week and say, Lord, what am I going to do differently? Because this is why they built this in. Compared to straight stairs, right? Why would you use a winding staircase as opposed to straight stairs? Because a winding staircase allows you to get to the maximum height possible in the smallest possible space in the shortest amount of time. Does that make sense? So a winding staircase gets you higher in the smallest amount of space and in the shortest amount of time. What the Lord is trying to say this, right, is if you have a staircase which goes this way, all right, it takes longer to climb that than it does to go this way up. Right? Makes sense. There's lots in this about time and about space. But I just want to say this to you. I actually believe that one of the things that the Lord is saying, right, if we just look at time, the time is made up of past, present, and future. All right? In Joel 2:25, it says, I'll restore to you all of the years. Now, the Hebrew word shaneh there is not just a calendar year, but a duration of time. I think that even today, when we even look at people around provision and look at money, and the Lord's saying to you, actually, everything you need is going to be found when you are absolutely committed to building the house of God. Now, here's what the Lord says, is I can move you to a wider place and to a broader place quicker, faster, and higher, doing it my way than you will ever do doing it your way. Does that make sense? When we look at the first miracle in Cana, when he turns the water into wine, what was the lesson that the Lord was showing us? I've preached this before. Is he's not constrained by time. He can actually make time smaller, right? Where is that place found where you go from the finished work to physical rest and peace to the glory of God in your life, right? It's found in the house of God, in the temple of God. That's why you build your life around the purpose of Jesus and his church. Do you get that? That's why this church matters, not just for you to come along and get a good sermon every Sunday, but actually a place where you can invest your whole life, your family's lives, so that you will see yourself ascending and going higher into the glory of God. That means the Lord can do for you in 2020 like this, what the world can never. The world will say you have to work hard, you have to, we do work hard, we're diligent, and that's what we do, but the results will be quicker, higher, broader, and faster than anything else that the world can do. Amen? I have seen that. I've seen it even in my business. I'm in a place in my business where there is no chance that that was natural. But the Lord has super blessed in a quicker period of time than the world would say, and almost not just in time, but also in space, with a broader, wider reach, with more people and more businesses than I ever would have thought 4 or 5 years ago would have ever been possible. Ever been possible. But can I just encourage you, one thing that Penny and I have consistently done is prioritize the family of God. When we discovered grace, see, I know people in my life who have discovered grace, and what they then did was they made it about them and their experience. So when people would come over visiting speakers, as an example, what they would do is rather than bring them to a church, they would put them in their own house and gather their friends around to hear the word. When Penny and I experienced grace, we thought, where do we get a building that everyone can come and hear this? Do you get the difference? I'm not saying the road has always been easy. It's been tough at times. But we have consistently seen the goodness of God. We've consistently seen ourselves going broader and wider, consistently living in an experience that there's no way any man could have opened the doors for us. And I'm trying to encourage you in 2020 to go consider your ways. Because the Lord wants to lift you this way. He wants to lift you higher and broader. But the word of the Lord, and the two things go together to go, you know what? You might say it's not your time. You might think, well, something else is more important. I'm going, well, that might be good because you're blessed, all right? The Lord doesn't say that you're not blessed. But is it good? Is it good or is it the best? Which one? Because if you find yourself still in a place where you're working hard but not seeing as much return as you would like, still struggling, still under fear, still, there's more grace for you today. That's what I'm trying to say. Does that make sense to you? And I honestly believe that the things, this is why I think Haggai was so strong in this in one way as a prophet. He went, seriously, wise up. Get wisdom, all right? Do you not see that if you say it's not your time or this is your experience, this is why the Lord's saying, just come in a line and build for me a place where the thousands can come to receive grace. And in there, you'll have long life, riches, honor, peace, all the stuff that you need. It's already there. And what's more, you'll get it quicker, more of it, in time and in space than anyone else could ever do. Isn't Jesus incredible? Takes what the world does and kind of just turns it completely on its head and goes, okay, let's get wise here. So here's my encouragement for you. That's me finished today. Now, one thing about a winding staircase is this. Some of you might go, oh, what's the really obvious thing when you look at a spiral staircase? You can't see the end of it, can you? You can't? So what do you have to do? You have to trust that putting one foot in front of the other is going to lead you to where you need to go. Hello? See, some of you right now are saying, well, I don't know how that'll work. Oh, Jesus, I don't know. That sounds all well and good, but the truth of it is, I'm looking at this, tell me what the end of the journey looks like. And the Lord goes, no, the Holy Spirit wants to every day lead you one step at a time. So what does he say? Put one foot in front of the other. Put one foot in front of the other. And then put another foot in front of the other every day. Right? Open your life to the Word of God. Consider your ways and go, actually, is the church peripheral to my life? A wee bless me club? Or am I building my life in the church with Jesus at the center? Big difference. Big difference in outcome. And don't kid yourself, whatever stage of life you are, you've got to look and go, if I'm reflected in what the Lord said in Haggai, then the Lord says twice to you, at the beginning, at the end, consider your, he's being really gentle. Going, consider your ways. Let me lift you up. Because what I'm asking you to build is a place where you go like that. You'd be mad not to, huh?